Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Who played Mini-Me to Dr. Evil on Halloween, and Dr. Evil being Joe Thomas, of course. Mini-Me being friend of the show, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, who now joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, Mr. Bigglesworth, how are you?
Guys, I dreamed of a Pulitzer when I was a kid, and I used my journalism degree from one of America's preeminent journalism institutions or journalism schools to dress up as Mini-Me. Yeah?
You were very good in that. I thought your dialogue was excellent.
Thank God you made it.
Excellent.
Thank you. Yep, you've arrived,
thank you.
Dude.
What did you think of Joe Thomas's performance as Dr. Evil?
I thought it was very good. I mean, he had the voice down. He went full voice. You know, Mini-Me is not allowed to speak, and as that was noted on the screen, 1/8 the size, but I believe 5 times the evil. But Joe nailed the voice. We actually had a somewhat different – well, actually, the plan went off as it was scheduled, but I had this idea right before I went on. I said I was going to, after we smashed the Pumpkins, try to smash another one like the Cowboys, because I think the Cowboys haven't beaten anyone good, and that Joe should then pick me up and carry me off, as I believe Dr. Evil once did to Mini-Me. And he was all for that, but he misunderstood it. I think there's some miscommunication, like we tried to whisper it in his ear late. He thought, like, I was going to do that right when I got out there. So if you see it, if you go back and you look at the All-22, you could see that, you know, Joe's trying to, like, go now when I got out there. And I'm like, no, dude, like, you smash the Pumpkin, then I do it. Hand signals at the line of scrimmage, basically what we did. But we pulled it off, and I'm glad people left.
You know, it's interesting that you should bring up this Mini-Me, Dr. Evil scenario and the communication issues, because I'm not sure if it was that or the 4th and 4 or 4th down and 1 that the Browns had against the Broncos that was more similar.
Yeah, just like that, but different.
Yeah.
Odell had his hand up, and Baker chose to throw it to Landry, who was double covered. It was a frustrating day, guys. I honestly, truly, firmly, in my heart of hearts, believed that they were going to win in Denver, that they would beat the Bills this week with a little bit of momentum, and that we would roll into town next week with a chance for them to get even at 5-5 against the Steelers. Alas, that did not happen. And now it's kind of like all about running the table, you know, or I don't even know. 7-1. I don't know if they have that in them. I mean, they have the talent. They hopefully get their act together. And I say that and not, the last couple of days have been interesting because, especially actually Sunday and Monday, it's the snark is analysis crew. And I wanted to tweet, snark is not analysis, but I did not, because I thought people would just pile on me as trying to be the sanctimonious one. But it seems like there's a lot of snark as opposed to analysis. You want to analyze. Yeah, this offense is far too reliant on the short passing game and specifically throwing it over the middle. Slants. Hey, play fake slant, play fake slant, play fake slant. They're not taking the deep shots that they used to. Obviously, they're not getting Odell involved. They're not getting Rashard Higgins involved. Line has been rotating through tackles and right guards, and they just have not gotten it together. The most frustrating thing is that whether it's Baker seeing ghosts, and I only say that because it's what was said of Sam Darnold, it's not nearly that bad, or whether it's offensive line issues, not trusting the left tackle or the right guard or whomever, or what I really do believe it is, without any inside information, simply the play caller or the offensive coordinator probably not on the same page and the offense of the quarterback not on the same page. They haven't gotten it going. They have the talent to do it. You're just waiting for it to happen.
Might Baker not trust Odell?
That's a great question. Only they can answer that. But we have seen a couple of times early in the season where Baker threw to Odell, and Odell simply didn't catch it. He came out of breaks and didn't expect the ball to be there. There was a back shoulder throw. Was it in Denver? I'm losing track of games. Or was it 2 weeks ago down the right sideline, moving right to left, where he put it on, turned around, didn't catch it. There was that throw in San Francisco. It was right in front of me early in the game, first quarter. Baker threw it high, but Odell's supposed to catch that ball. He probably threw it high because the Niners have 3 7-foot-tall defensive linemen. There have been times where it seems like Odell should make that catch, and he doesn't. Is that why he doesn't throw to him anymore? I don't know. Last year's Baker Mayfield probably takes that shot downfield to Odell. I guess the question is, why isn't he taking those shots downfield anymore?
Do you have a theory?
I don't. I mean, you could speculate a million things. Don't trust the left tackle. Doesn't trust the wide receiver. Or it could be something far simpler than that, that he's being coached, work it short to long, not long to short. Todd Monken, last year's offense, or what we saw the Buccaneers, they took shot after shot after shot downfield. This offense is not. Under Freddie Kitchens, they took plenty of shots. It was all based off play action, but they took plenty of shots downfield. This year's team simply is not.
Okay, and that's very true. You've seen more of Greg Robinson than the rest of us, having worked with the Rams. Were you surprised he was back in there as a starter at left tackle after the whole big thing, Greg's out, blah, 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 boom, he's right back in there?
I'll be very blunt, and it sounds like it's mean-spirited. I was surprised he was on the roster to start the season. Like, when I was in Canton at the press box at the Black College Football Hall of Fame game, the weekend before the season began, and it came across on my phone that Greg Robinson had been cut, I immediately, my internal reaction was, what a bold move by a team that thinks it has a big season in front of it to say, you know what, our left tackle isn't up to standards, and we're realizing it right now. So, no, I'm surprised he's on the roster, period.
All right. I'm trying.
Is that too harsh?
No.
Everyone in football knows they need a left tackle. I'm not anti-Greg as a person. It didn't work with the Rams. It didn't work in Detroit. They had a good run last year, the second half of the season. I know Greg got a lot of the credit for stabilizing that position after you tried to put an a very raw, undrafted rookie free agent at left tackle who is now out of football. So, yeah, that was an upgrade. Play calling had a lot to do with it as well. Baker trusted Greg Robinson. Baker supported Greg, and it worked. They caught lightning in a bottle for half a season. But, a lot of people around football had significant long-term doubts, and it just didn't work.
All right, I'm trying to find a silver lining because we had Bill Cowher on about an hour ago. And Bill said that he thought this game, last game against Denver, was one of the Browns' best games of the season. They just couldn't fulfill the destiny by going 1-for-5 inside the red zone.
Sure.
Okay, so and Jeff and I got off the phone with Cowher, and I was like, he has been more optimistic than anybody else that we've talked about all week about what we witnessed with the Browns in Denver. And maybe it's just getting a perspective from somewhere outside of Northeast Ohio to actually have to hear that or even try to believe it. Give me some silver linings for this team as you have 8 weeks to go, because I'd like to be optimistic at some point this week.
Oh, I've got plenty of them.
Okay, let's go.
Listen, guys, you guys kind of took me down that path, and I sound like I've beaten and broken.
No. I think it's natural Browns fan stuff, though.
Sure, was disappointing as a fan. I mean, many of them have been, because that was the one you're supposed to get, and then I truly did think they had a run in them. And I still do think they have a run in them. I am not in any way writing them off. It's just the math is tough now. The math was tough to begin with, but if you beat the Broncos, the math made sense on how they got back into it. Now, the math does not make sense. You know, they really, truly have to go on a ridiculous run to get back into it. They have the talent to do that. Go back, and I'm with Bill Cowher. The penalties were cut down, and They consistently, they turned the ball over. I mean, they hadn't done that recently. They forced a turnover. Austin Seibert nailing everything you put on his right foot, which is a good thing. They just couldn't finish in the red zone. They did the one time when Landry scored, they were in position to win it at the end. This one was kind of like the Seahawks game, although against an inferior opponent. Denver has talent, obviously, especially on defense. But when you look at that game, you look at the Denver, the Seahawks game, you're like, man, those are games you coulda, shoulda, woulda won. You had in your hand, and you didn't. They still have they can absolutely beat the Bills. You know? They can absolutely beat the Bills. Silver lining, they have the talent to win games, period. And that's what they know that in the building. They cut the penalties down. So now go out there and actually finish. You just got to finish. And, you know, what was disappointing last week, too, was the poor tackling and giving up huge runs when it came time to buckle down. And that reminded me of week one against Tennessee, too.
What's Kareem Hunt do on Sunday and moving forward?
No idea. But I'm fascinated to see what he does. You know, if you give him the ball a couple of times, he is super, super talented. It's another weapon. I know people want to say there's only one football and there's only so many mouths to feed. It can't hurt to have another good football player on your team, but only Freddie knows what they're going to do with him.
Andrew, we know you're pressed for time today, so we are going to let you go. But we still consider you a friend of the show.
Oh, no, you guys, I hold near and dear to my heart. You know that. And I hope I don't sound angry and defeated today. In any way whatsoever. I'm exceedingly excited to come to town next week. The entire posse is rolling into town.
Are you coming in studio with us or no?
I hope, maybe.
Okay.
He has work to do, though.
Oh,
no, he's here to work.
I'm staying right down the street from you guys. We can coordinate that. Doing the Tomahawk thing Wednesday night at the House of Blues.
Yeah, there's a I've heard about this. It sounds like it's going to be a fun night.
I'm sorry. Am I promoting something that isn't?
No. I'm actually making sure I'm saying the right things. How's that sound?
Okay.
That's me.
Great.
Let's change your pace.
Well, good. We're looking forward to that.
We'll go to an Indians game.
Oh, right? Good.
An Indians playing?
No, just me and you. We're going to hang out. We're going to go with the bleachers. We're going to sit there. I've got John Adams is going to come. He's going to bring his drum. It'll be the three of us. It'll be great.
Okay. Who's on the Cavs?
Which guy?
Who do you want?
Who do you want? Kevin Love?
Oh, he's still there.
Yes. He's Tristan busy. Thompson?
Kevin's busy.
Cool. He's still there. Got it.
All right, Andrew, you can bring any of your NFL Network buddies with you, too, next week if you want to.
Sure. I'll drag him out of bed.
Yeah, because that's what they're going to want to do. Goodbye, yeah. Andrew.
Bye, see Andrew.
You see you later. Andrew Siciliano, super friend of the show, and, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So Andrew gave you some reasons to be positive and optimistic about Sunday's game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.